Good morning. It's the first Friday of the month, and guess what that means? Sandra, the plant lady, is back.
Good morning.
She's going to rant plants.
I am. It's going to be a true rant today. No guests this week.
Ah.
But I do have guests lined up for the next 2 months, for March and April. So that's
by then
exciting.
We'll be talking about spring stuff.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting because these were guests that were going to be winter guests, and then everything kind of shifted. People's schedules change or miscommunications happen, so... there's some of that, but so in March it'll be Teresa Wolf, and she is an eco-herbalist, so we'll be talking about herbs and whether we're past cold season or not by then. I don't know, but I know that was something she kind of wanted to focus on was, you know, herbs to help people get through, but you know, we can work on other things. Maybe it'll be a nice spring and we'll have allergies by then.
There'll be something. There always is.
And then the following month in April, I will have a group of local CSA farmers, community-supported agriculture. I know Steady Hand Farm will be here.
Okay.
And then Jason from Steady Hand is actually going to line up a few other guests. So we're going to be having
a full house
that day. But I'm excited about that.
It's
you know, last month we had the Amber and Hannah on, and to have a couple people was a fun new experience for me. So
what? It's good all the way around, and it's good for the audience.
Good.
Because we all learn something.
I hope so. That's the
goal.
Whole idea. Yes.
So
and that'll be helping also for Plant Rant is supporting the community. And so to get these local folks in the community, including Teresa Wolf and the local farmers, and getting them in here. And even yesterday, I had encountered a truck driver who he's from Washington, and he was hauling a load of onions out toward Rice Lake. And then he was talking about, you know, he lives in a very heavily apple growing area. Sometimes those apples that come from Washington are stored in a space without oxygen for up to a year.
Really?
I found that kind of gross. And so, of course, I, working at the Baker Orchard, don't buy apples at the store anymore. You know, and I knew that a lot of apples that they ship, that they ripen on the truck, you know, they're not picking them ripe. They're using ethylene gas and ripening them on the way. But it was just...
That's kind of a disappointing thing.
Another reminder of supporting
the local
people and our local farms, and then doing what you can do to store. So at the end of the year at the orchard, they blow the apples out. I mean, you can get a full case of Honeycrisp for $30, or, you know, and they might be less than perfect, but you go home and you use your dehydrator, or you make fruit leather, or dried fruit rings, or you can it, or freeze it, or make pie filling. I mean, there's so many things we can do to be buying local and storing those. You know, Farm Table is hosting classes all the time. And I would imagine that some of those, I just saw a schedule yesterday and then I didn't have a ton of time to look over it. But I mean, I would think that would be a great class that if they don't offer that, they could, as far as putting foods by and storing. Because I mean, that's part of their philosophy is
they do it there.
Using as much as they can from the farm all year round.
In fact, I had a gal on the Coffee Clutch here a while ago who was talking about preserves, and they have lots of them there that they get stuff and then they preserve it. And
right.
I'm sure they'll have classes on that if they haven't already.
Right.
And just to plug that a little bit, in a couple of weeks on our conversation program on Sunday afternoons, Farm Table Foundation is going to be a guest there.
Oh, good.
So that'll be another thing to learn more about the Farm Table, because every time they come over, I learn things I had no idea.
Good.
That the Farm Table was into, and it's good for the community.
Exactly.
Which is what this radio station's all about, something good for the community. So that's why we have the Plant Rant.
Yes, thank you, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
I'm glad you are.
So we're, as usual, on Plant Rant. None of that had anything to do with my notes or anything, but you know what? That's just fine. I'm excited to promote the guests coming on, and that's where the conversation takes us. So
we go wherever it takes us.
The most recent thing, and now this is I mean, not that it's not kind of innate knowledge, but there's been a lot of research lately. I've just recently read like three different articles on gardening and plants and how important and how much value that they have for our mental health.
Mental health.
I know.
Ooh.
And our well-being. So yeah. Apparently studies have shown that just even 3 to 5 minutes in a lush green garden can reduce stress, anxiety, anger, and pain. So that's not
too.
Just exactly.
Wow.
So that's a physical, not just our mental health, but physical
yeah.
health. It can induce relaxation, dispel mental and emotional fatigue. There's some hospitals now that are starting to have hospital healing gardens.
Wow.
The folks that are going out and enjoying these gardens have a better attitude. They tend to recover more quickly. These hospital healing gardens will typically have benches in different spots so people
sure.
can sit and have different viewpoints,
sure.
Meandering trails for people who are able to get out and move around. They'll use sound, both having, you know, whenever you have these plants, you wind up having birds.
Absolutely.
And the lovely song of those. They're using water features. You know, and I found even in my own garden, all it takes is a wash tub and a little tiny pump, and you've got
yeah.
that sound of water without a huge investment or space.
Yeah.
Or and if you put it in a shady spot, you're not going to get as much grow, you know, algae and things
yeah,
like that
yeah.
that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
And then, so this is, okay, so having houseplants in your house or being in a garden or going out into the garden is all good for us. And, you know, and I've always been interested in like horticultural therapy from the standpoint of enabling gardens. I know I've mentioned before about accessibility and how important
yeah.
it is to have access and getting these beds raised up or having, you know, some pavement and woods so you people can get out who maybe wouldn't be able to walk in those areas,
gotcha.
Things like that. So this has always been interesting to me. And so now this is taking it to this whole other level of the benefits
yeah.
of mental health.
You know,
and
that's
then,
amazing.
So another study has shown that there are actually antidepressant soil microbes. And they're called Mycobacterium, I'm going to say vacae, because vacay makes us feel relaxed too, but it's V-A-C-C-A-E.
Okay.
And they actually mirror the effect on neurons that drugs like Prozac provide.
In the soil.
In the soil.
Wow.
You know, and the thing with these bacteria are, of course, we need healthy soils.
Yeah.
So this is part of getting our soils built back up to have those.
Yep.
Healthy
without,
soils.
Without the pesticides, herbicides,
yeah.
and all that other stuff.
You know, and I've noticed, you know, like Dr. Earth is one product, and they have mycorrhizae in, you know, they have a lot of different bacteria, and I've always known about the bacteria as far as they're good for root growth and what they
sure.
do, how they work that way. But this was really interesting, and you know, all of this with no side effects, no dependency,
yeah.
although gardening is addicting, but, you know, it's a healthy addiction.
There's a lot of things that are addicting, and not all of them are good.
Gardening is. Right. So now there's science to back up gardening as a stress reducer
yeah.
and mood lifter. And, I mean, a lot wow. of people refer to their garden as their happy place. And
yeah, I've heard that many times.
So how it works is this antidepressant microbes in the soil, they cause the cytokine levels to rise, which results in the production of higher serotonin levels,
uh-huh.
which is what those antidepressants typically do. They work with
yeah.
the serotonin
yeah.
to get that up,
yeah.
which elevates your
but
mood.
That's a pill and this is natural.
Exactly.
Wow.
So the challenge, of course, in our environment is what do
winter.
We do in the winter time, you know, which is where the house plants come
sure.
in or a trip
sure.
to the Como Conservatory. So the bacteria, you know, they actually did testing with this with rats, both injecting them and ingesting. The results showed increased cognitive ability, lower stress, and better concentration. So for gardeners, for us, we get it through the, you know, you can, when you're breathing in the soil, when you're out there, and then when you're working with your hands, so topically, and it gets into your bloodstream that way. And according to the study, the natural effects of that can actually last up to 3 weeks.
Whoa. 5 minutes in the garden can last 3 weeks?
Yeah, and I don't know how long, you know, the working with the soil and all of that.
Yeah.
That's a long time. So it's interesting to me. So if they're saying just being in a garden can increase your mental health, now what if we were to work with mental health patients and create garden spaces not only where they can come and sit and watch the birds, but actually dig in the soil and get that added benefit? I just think if these studies get combined and more people work together.
I just had a thought. Occasionally here, I can't remember how often, doesn't really matter, but behavioral health people and the Mental Health Coalition come here often.
Yep, I've heard those programs.
Talk on the air and so forth. You ought to go present to them this idea and maybe their coalition.
Right.
Have some sort of a garden space, or maybe they do, I don't know, but that's a good idea. And it'd be less costly than other things.
Right. Well, and you get the added benefit. I mean, there's an aesthetic value to a garden.
Oh, yeah.
And depending upon how they used it, it's, you can be, you know, these folks can start growing their own food. You know, say you're living in a group home situation, you get a garden put in, and then folks can be growing their own food. Yeah. So now you're creating food. Yeah. You know, and if you start with seeds, it's dirt cheap. Ha ha, that's funny.
Good one.
Dirt cheap. So it's, you know, you can make it where it doesn't have to be a big expense. And then these people can be growing their own food, having an end result, feeling that sense of accomplishment.
Yeah.
I know even in, you know, that in like addiction programs and things like that, it's been very common to have someone take care of a house plant.
Sure.
Because then they have something to take care of, something to tend. But if they really screw it up, they can't, you know, if they neglect it, they're not, it's not like having a puppy or a kid or something like that. So I guess it's along those lines, but that sense of pride and accomplishment in doing something as well.
Well, it probably all of the lack of all of those things probably contributed to their mental health situation, whatever it is.
Right.
You know, so this is take their mind off that.
Right.
Put it somewhere creative. Because gardening, it seems to me, is creative.
Yes.
I mean, you're just creating a plant. If you don't do anything else, get a seed, stick it in the ground, and it grows, you created a plant.
Right.
Because the seed
by that act, the seed couldn't do it without you necessarily.
Exactly.
Right. So, yeah, and there's another study, which I know we've been talking about mental health, and I don't mean any offense to anyone, but the title, the heading was Crazy Plant Ladies Are More Likely to Live Longer and Happier Lives.
Well, that says something good for you, doesn't
it? I hope so. We're
hoping.
I just had a birthday. I'm hoping for quite a few more. So.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're thinking that that there's an increase in social interactions, and this is speculative, but that people get, you know, gardeners talk to other gardeners or you do a gardening club. And I've seen it even at work where, you know, people never really seem to be waiting in line because they're busy. Well, what did you buy? Oh, what's that plant? Well, I'm going to run and get that. Or they're talking about building up their soil or sharing their knowledge. So even I've seen amongst strangers at the greenhouse or the garden center, the people connecting over plants and always happy to share what they've learned or find out from someone else if they see that they've got something cool that they haven't seen before. And I know there's a huge sale they do every year at the fairgrounds, this Friends plant sale, and people are sharing things from their garden. And it's a big
get them all together
deal. Get them all together.
Yes.
You know, people who work with plants and garden tend to be more physically active.
Well, I would hope.
And plants lead to less pollution. They increase our oxygen.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I heard something somewhere that there's a push on now. Somebody is saying we should go out and plant, what is it, 10 million trees or something? This is some program I heard about.
Well, that couldn't be a bad thing.
No, no. I'm saying, wow, what a good idea, because all I see everywhere you go, especially in the fall and again in the spring, mostly in the fall, trees being cut, branches being cut, trees cut down. It angers me when I go through what were nice big areas of forest and find it slashed and left looking like, I mean, just a big mess.
Right.
I understand harvesting and all that. There's a certain value to that. But wouldn't there also be a value to, and I know, they talk about the soil will reclaim the old trees and branches and bush and all that stuff. But, man, it looks bad.
Right.
I think it just looks awful. And I wonder how much replanting of the same trees that were taken is being done.
Right.
Probably none, which is a good idea to plant trees. That's where our oxygen comes from, or a lot of it anyway.
Well, yeah, there's areas out west where they've created like a facade. They'll clear cut an area but leave a row of trees so it still looks like there's something there, but there's not. I mean, it's...
Well, that may be aesthetically nice, but for the overall, it's not a good idea.
Right. Well, and on that note, too, I saw there's now there's some mosses and things that can be grown like right on the sides of buildings, which I don't know how good that would be. This is a whole nother thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But as far as increasing the oxygen, cutting down on pollution, the more we have, whether it's in our indoor environment or our outdoor environment, the better. I mean, part of our problem probably with, I mean, I'm totally speculating here, people, but part of our problem with this greenhouse gas thing and all that is the fact that they clear-cutted all the rainforest that we're cleaning the air. I mean, our environment...
Talk about,
you know, this it goes through the whole, everything in the ocean, everything in our air goes through the whole world, our atmosphere.
Sure.
We're moving through it, and there's something there to all of that. So we've lost this huge amount of trees.
The sad part of it is, Sandra, is that with clear cutting the rainforest, for example, nothing grows where it was. So what'd you clear cut it for? Well, apparently the lumber. Well, where are you going to get your next need?
Right. Well, and there's whole environments that are in the upper stories, the overstory of these.
The canopy.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that even goes in our own country in the redwoods.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
There's whole environments
that
are in those, in that overstory.
You know, and with all the things that we've done over the years, it shows one thing. The one thing we didn't do very well at was thinking about it before we did it.
Right.
Or looking at a little research first, or do a little research first.
Well, and the research is there and people know, but money...
Money rules everything.
Yeah, takes over. And
you know, I say this to everybody I get a chance to, so I'm going to say it to you.
Okay.
I think there is only one root cause of every problem in the world. Greed. I mean, that's really the root cause of everything.
Right.
If people weren't greedy, there wouldn't be such a need to have all this money.
Right.
It's like sports players getting $100 billion a year. How many millions do you need?
Right.
Good grief. And just wouldn't it be nice if somebody poured just a portion of that back into gardens?
Well, and I think some folks do. You know, some people I think are better than others in appreciating their wealth and giving it back.
Yep. And that's a good thing.
Yes.
Just not enough of it.
Right on.
Of course, that's like gardens. It's a good thing, but there's not enough of them, right?
Yeah, it takes the people who want to do it and make it happen.
But from what I've listened to you for, how long have we been doing this?
So it'll be 2 years in June.
2 years.
So we're at over the year and a half.
Wow.
At stretch at this point. So haven't missed a show either.
Yay! No, you haven't. What I've learned, though, is it doesn't have to be a lot of work to have a garden.
Right.
And a garden can be anything from a container to a big acre space.
Exactly.
So it all depends on what you want.
It's just having that little house plant in the house and something to get you started. And
so you have a garden. How much time do you spend daily or weekly or whatever?
You know, it depends. I mean, I love to walk through every day when it's nice. You know, and of course, as a gardener, you're like, oh, that needs to be weeded. That needs to be mulched. That needs, you know, instead of sometimes just sitting and enjoying. But we talked about that last year, too, when I did take some time, moved my chair into a spot, watched the swallowtails, watched the monarchs, and just kicked back and relaxed. And it depends, you know, the years that you're putting in a new garden, that's going to take more time. I mean, once your beds are established, and if you are mulching and doing things to reduce the amount of weeds and, you know, deadheading the weeds or getting them pulled, it doesn't have to take so much time. Of course, people who like to garden like to spend time.
Oh, sure.
In their, I mean, I have one girlfriend who loves to garden. She had a really tiny yard, and she would just constantly rearrange everything. And it always looked great, but I think she just wanted to be out there doing something. And because she didn't have space to expand, she'd just dig stuff up and move it around or divide it or cut it. And
you know, I heard something, I don't remember when, but you mentioned butterflies and monarchs and all that sort of thing. And we should all be doing all we can to enhance the habitat for monarchs, because I heard that, is it in Mexico or Ecuador or something, the area where the monarchs from
Mexico,
certain parts, they're leveling it.
Oh,
there
no.
There won't be any space for them.
And well, remember last year we had Janie on in June, Janie, the butterfly lady.
Yeah. And now they're clear-cutting this, and the habitat that's there for monarchs will be gone. Totally. So then what's going to happen?
That's devastating. I don't know, because it's innate for them to go there and roost in those trees.
And it's from certain, it's this area that goes there. The ones that go where? From California down to California.
Right.
They go elsewhere. They go somewhere else.
But I think when Janie was here, the California one, our numbers were up. But I think the California numbers hadn't recovered as well.
Well, it takes a long time.
Well, it might be, you know, so I've got March and April lined up, but maybe it's time with that new information. Plus, Janie was just such a fun guest anyway. It might be nice to have her.
She probably knows a lot about that.
Have her on again, or at least talk to her and try to find out more details about that.
Sure.
Well, and I thought she had mentioned that at, I'll have to re-listen to that program. I thought that she had talked about that, but I thought that there was groups or something that was trying to prevent that or investing, spending the money that they would make from doing it and giving them the money instead. But apparently that must have fallen through the cracks.
You know how it is. You hear news stories and you only hear parts of them. So I may be, but I it's a concern anyway.
Right.
You know.
Well, sometimes you can hear news and it's not completely accurate either.
Well, no. Really? Is that what they call fake news?
So back to spending time outside and all these benefits. So when you're, so they did these studies with people who lived in the most amount of vegetation and people who lived with the least amount of vegetation around them. So 34% lower rate of respiratory disease in the people who lived with the most vegetation.
Sure.
13% lower. Well, this always kind of cracks me up. Oh, no, this, not this one. So 13% rate lower of death-related cancer compared to the least vegetation around.
Whoa.
Oh, and then the one that always cracks me up, there was one that was showing that the plant ladies, for example, have 12% lower mortality. But how is that possible? Because I don't know. We all die, so I'm not sure how you can have less mortality. But maybe it, age-wise, you live out a longer life. But 13% lower rate of death-related cancers compared.
Well, that's pretty amazing by itself.
So
I've never heard that before.
These plants are really
good
doing
us.
Something for us. And whether it's the clean air is, you know, a guess, or the being in it, the sense of well-being, the better mental health, calmer lifestyle. I mean, there's so many different factors.
Good aspects to it.
So.
Yeah.
Well, that's my rant on mental health. And now we're kind of we're getting down to the final times here. So this,
you're going to take the time this time, aren't you?
I am. I love this little book. So throughout the gardener's year, where we're at right now, probably this is the time of the year to start getting ready with your seeds, whether if you haven't ordered your seeds from the catalog yet, get on that.
Yep.
If you have seeds that you've overwintered, it's a good time to start testing the germination rate. And a simple way to test your germination rate of your seeds, take 10 seeds, line them up in a moist paper towel, roll that paper towel up, and then that moisture will cause the seeds to sprout. Uh-huh. If 2 out of 10 seeds sprout, you have 20% germination rate.
I got
if
it.
8 out of 10 seeds sprout, ooh, you have 80% germination rate. So wow. Now's the time of year to start testing your seeds, your ones that you've stored, order your new ones that you're going to want. I'm always a little hesitant for people to get going on starting seeds this early because if we have one of those April winters again, now you're looking at 3 full months of trying to keep these plants growing, and they get so stretchy and leggy. And, you know, even if you have artificial light, you're going to outgrow that space more than likely before you can transplant. But you could certainly, if you have a nice space indoors, you can start getting your soil ready, your soil medium ready, and start mixing that, preparing that.
Probably a better time to start the seed thing would be later in March.
Yeah, or sometime, even early March. And it's so hard to know because we don't know what in our season, it's hard to know.
Yeah.
You know, even years at the greenhouse, I can remember years ago when I was at Abrahamson's before, and I was actually part of the production growing in St. Croix Falls and growing all the annuals. And we had a late spring, and those plants had gotten so huge, and then you run out of space, and then you're trimming them back. Well, now you've put in all this water and fertilizer and energy into this plant that you're cutting back because you don't have space. But people were reluctant to purchase the plants and take them home if they couldn't have them outside yet. So when we have these late years, so it's just something to think about. I want to read a little story. I had more, but who cares? Talk about,
you're finally going to read.
Talk about
book.
Pruning fruit trees next February. So I love my little gardener's year, Carol Capek. And so this is about seeds. Some people say that charcoal should be added, and others deny it. Some recommend a dash of yellow sand because it is supposed to contain iron, while others warn you against it for the very fact it does contain iron. Others again recommend clean river sand, others peat alone, and still others sawdust. In short, the preparation of the soil for seeds is a great mystery and a magical ritual. To it should be added marble dust, but where to get it? 3-year-old cow dung. Here it is not clear whether it should be the dung of a 3-year-old cow or a 3-year-old heap. A handful from a fresh molehill, clay pounded to dust from old pigskin boots, sand from the Elbe, but not from the Vltava, 3-year-old hotbed soil, and perhaps besides the humus from the golden fern and a handful from the grave of a hanged virgin, all that should be well mixed. Gardening books do not say whether at the new moon or full or on midsummer night. And when you put this mysterious soil into flower pots, soaked in water, which for 3 years have been standing in the sun, and on whose bottoms you put pieces of boiled crockery and a piece of charcoal, against the use of which other authorities, of course, express their opinions. When you have done all that, and so obeyed hundreds of prescriptions, principally contradicting each other, you may begin the real business of sowing the seeds. With regard to seeds, some look like snuff, others like very light blonde nits, or like shiny and blackish blood-red fleas without legs. Some are flat like seals, others inflated like balls, others thin like needles. They are winged, prickly, downy, naked, and hairy, big like cockroaches, and tiny little specks of dust. I tell you that every kind is different, and each is strange. Life is complex. Out of this big plumed monster, a low and dry little thistle is supposed to grow, whereas out of these yellow nits, a fat, gigantic cotyledon is supposed to come. What am I to do? I simply don't believe it. Well, have you sown your seeds yet? Have you put the pots in lukewarm water and covered them with glass? Have you shaded the windows against the sun and shut them so that a hotbed of 100 degrees will be produced in your room? Very well, then. Now the great and feverish activity of every sower begins. That is waiting. Drenched with sweat, without coat, in his shirt sleeves, the breathless watcher bends over the pots, and with his eyes he draws up the sprouts, which ought to come out.
Okay. I like some of the plays on words.
Yes, yes. I just, I this book
What's
was a gift.
What's the author's name?
Carol Capek.
Capek.
Huh. And it was actually printed out of the University of Wisconsin and Press in Madison.
Oh, wow.
So, and I had gotten it as a gift several years ago and hadn't really looked at it much until I started Plant Rant and am always kind of looking for things. And I love this little book. It's so witty and some of it is so true. And that, you know, he talks about the gardeners, you know, we should actually be invertebrates if we'd have evolved because of all the weird positions you get in trying to garden and weed and plant. And it's just entertaining. So I hope others enjoy it out there as well. And
well, bring it next time too.
Well, next month I'll have a guest.
Yeah, but you can still take 2 minutes. And
oh, maybe. Yeah. Okay. You know, we got lots of years to come. So
yeah, well, that's true.
We want to keep
it
fresh. We
can create a whole program out of that one day.
Probably. Well, I like it because it goes through the year, and then each, you know, it's got the month, and then they'll have antidote or section on buds. You know, just it's cool.
It's just fun.
Well, next month, tune in. Teresa Wolf will be here.
All right.
From St. Croix Falls, and we can learn about herbs. Maybe some of you are getting your herb seeds
probably
ready to go or have herbs. I had quite a few that we kept in the house all winter, all which right. has been a nice treat.
Well, maybe you'll just talk some folks into doing that.
I hope so. I hope I've inspired people.
All right. Thanks, Sandra.
Thank you.
Sandra, the plant lady on the Plant Rant, the first Friday of every month. The following